Welcome back to Raw Thoughts Podcast, where I bring on individuals and we talk about their life, whatever that looks like to them. So today I have Devin Colton coming on talking about kind of a couple different topics. She actually reached out to the podcast through Instagram, which is so incredible. And she's in Oregon. So this is me the first time, if you're watching on YouTube, that you'll actually be able to see a Zoom call with us. So if you're out of state, want to get onto the podcast, it is possible. Reach out to me. We'll get it scheduled. We'll get it figured out for you. So Devin is coming on. She is the founder. And remind me of what your business is called.
Called Darling Devs.
Darling Devs. So she's got Darling Devs. She's got, you know, kind of a working atmosphere as well as a mental health background with her experience specifically. So Dev, tell us about yourself.
Hello. Yes, thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. But my name's Devin Colton. I was born and raised actually in Baker City, Oregon, which is not too far from the Treasure Valley. I grew up, my childhood mall was the Boise Mall. So I remember ditching school and going over there, you know, making the time. But so I grew up in a small town. Then I went to college at Eastern Oregon University, just up the road from where I grew up, and studied art. So I have my bachelor's degree in art. And then once I graduated, I made the transition and moved to kind of a bigger city, Denver, Colorado, of all places. Had some family in Colorado Springs, and just started working in higher education is where I started out at, and then transitioned to corporate healthcare for a couple of years, and working with some kidney patients and things like that. Moved to working at a nonprofit in the healthcare field. And then eventually moved back to Oregon, where I went and worked at a coffee business. So kind of switched industries a little bit, and eventually moved back home, kind of close to in between the cities where I grew up and where I went to college. So now that's where I reside, living back home, kind of close to my hometown, which has just been quite the transition. I'm only 27, so I feel like there's just been a lot of life changes that have happened to me, and the lessons that I've learned have just been strengthening in my mental health. So my business, Darling Devs, is actually kind of has three kind of pillars to it. I focus a lot on jewelry making. I'm a very creative person. I studied art in college, like I mentioned, and it was more painting, but I've always kind of loved jewelry and loved the versatility of jewelry and what women choose to like and wear. So my method is more of a reuse, repurpose, and thrifting method. So for all you thrifters out there, I feel you, I love it. And I try to make the old mix with some new. And then I also have a passion for graphic design, and helping businesses with their graphic design needs. So a part of what I also studied in college was digital art. It was what I originally wanted to go to school for. And originally wanted to, the plan was to go to Boise State. And that just never worked out actually. The focus was to go in for digital marketing and graphic design kind of programs, but the college ended their program. So I've kind of made it fit to what I was liking and what I liked at the time. And now I enjoy making marketing material for other businesses. So I enjoy helping people from the smallest document that they just need revamped to actual postcards and stickers and things that they want to send out. So the third part of my business with Darling Devs is actually a little bit newer, but something that I learned while I was in Colorado was about wedding planning. So I do a little bit of wedding planning on the side and help brides with their process of just what to do, don't know where to start, having some one-on-one conversations with them. Because I realized as a bride myself at the time, like I just didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. And working with a wedding planner down in Colorado kind of helped me decide that that was what I really wanted to do. I got to learn the backside of weddings, big weddings. This wedding planner I worked with, she was a lug wedding planner. So I got to see like the luxury side, but now I want to kind of bring that to people that want to have more of an elopement, smaller wedding and bring some of those luxury type services to them. So that's you a little bit about my business. But then my passion for just like mental health and things like I mentioned earlier is just through my own battle with anxiety and depression and some of those big life changes that I've had to figure out on my own. Just not really feeling like I had the support. And now feeling like I'm in a spot where I do have the support and I can look to myself a little bit more. I'm a big mindful person. Like I tried mindfulness and yoga and walks and daily things like that. So if you follow my Instagram, you'll see a lot of that on my stories. I'm very active there on my stories just to kind of show a lot of that and share some of those resources with my followers.
That's incredible. I mean, you definitely have seen the jumps, you know, through your life of, you know, going from a small town to a bigger town to the college town. You know, you have done a lot of walks of life that a lot of people just don't get to have. So where was your pivoting point, or where was the multiple experiences stacking on top of each other where you're like, oh, I need help? Like, you know, how did you know you had anxiety or depression or a mental health illness and to get those resources?
Yeah. So, I really, got, I guess the diagnosis, working in corporate healthcare. It was kind of a, call center. I guess you were making a lot of phone calls to a lot of people. And I just started noticing my health kind of declining a little bit, working in a cubicle all by myself, like working on a fun team, but just starting to lose a little bit of myself. And so, luckily I had the resources through my workplace to be able to access a doctor and, just kind of started exploring some of those conversations. And, it's just been really awesome to know that you have a voice and your needs do matter. And taking the time when you have the time set aside with that doctor one-on-one, like it's just been the biggest key for me working in healthcare, understanding what kind of questions you should and shouldn't ask, I guess, or what, I don't know, just seeing like the computer side of what a doctor or a nurse has to do, going to see them in person, kind of already knowing what they're going to do, like just knowing that my needs matter. And I get that they have a job to do and they have set protocols that they have to follow, but mental health is one of those things that unless you're getting like a complete brain scan, like which are very expensive and not very many clinics offer those, you're not going to really know what's going to work, I guess. And that's why they say, you know, mental health meds take about 3 weeks or so. You have to give it a try for 3 weeks or so. And that's a long time. And yeah, for your body to feel like you don't know what's going on and you can lose some of that control. And so knowing that you have the control to, I don't know, mental health is one of those things that you just have to know you're in control of, just like any other appointment. Like if you broke your arm, you know they're going to put it in a cast. Like if you have mental health issues, you could expect possibly some medication, but you could expect maybe some mindfulness or meditation or some of those more wellness recommendations and diet, and just understanding how your body works. That was my big perspective. Not feeling like I was losing myself because of my job. Because with anxiety, I also have some of the perfectionist, like, you want to do a good job, you want to always be good at your job. So, and knowing that my mind was just not in the same spot all the time. So, yeah. And that was okay. And that was still okay. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I want you to talk a little bit, because I think this is where a lot of people get hung up, is you're in a corporate job, you're doing your day to day, right? You recognize that there's an issue or there's a problem, but people are afraid to go and ask for help. They don't know where to go or they don't know what to ask for. Like, what was your experience with that in actually getting the resources within your work? A lot of people have EPA and they don't even know what that is or that those resources are accessible to them. What was your experience knowing, hey, something's going on and I need to ask for that additional help?
Yeah. So luckily I had a really great relationship with my manager, and going directly to them, was what kind of kicked everything off. I was able to have a conversation with them. They were able to contact exactly what you said, EAP or employee assistant program, or what I think that's what it was. And that team contacted me directly and said, you know, have you been in contact with your physician already? And through my work, they provided my healthcare through a really cool program called Paladina Health. And I don't know if that's all over the country. I know it's not here in Oregon where I'm at anymore, but they had doctors where you could just walk in anywhere and see them. And having that conversation already, they were just able to expedite some of those appointments for me, and making sure that I knew where my next spot was. I thought that was really helpful for me, and them coordinating with the insurance company. So I didn't have to think about that, because you know, those are conversations that I just couldn't handle at that time. So, and then from there, it was just the insurance company working with my doctor. Then for me to say, you know, I guess ultimately I could have said no, like I could have just not showed up to the appointments or not done the work and not, you know, taken that help, but I just knew I needed to, and I needed to do that for myself. Yeah. So,
if you're asking for the help originally from your work, you're in that state where you know that you need to take the next steps and actually do the work as well. And that's that kind of second appointment within everything. Mm-hmm. And they do, you know, people that are listening, if you are in a sticky situation, if you are to the point, you know, where you haven't gotten the help and you are suicidal, you can definitely give them a call and they will siphle through that of saying like, hey, you know, are you in a safe place? What do you have around you? Like, they're going to figure those things out of the severity, and then go off of that, of how aggressive that they need to get you help. But in the same sense of all of this, just like you, it comes down to you doing the work. Mm-hmm. And figuring out yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just every doctor that I've sat down, spent an extra 10 minutes with, and I know that's probably the extra 10 minutes they're taking away from another patient or whatever is on their schedule, but having that courage, they just have always said, like, it's very courageous of you to take this next step and continue to ask for help when you're not getting the answers that you want. I've also personally called, you know, the National Suicide Hotline. There's a direct number that you can be connected with somebody to talk with within minutes, if you are in that desperate need. So I just feel like people should just know that they have a lot of more options, including just free help that's out there.
So. Yeah. And if you wouldn't mind, and you're more than welcome to or not, but share what got you to that point of actually needing to call the hotline.
Sure. Yeah, I was going through a messy divorce at the time. And just, I was in a big city with not feeling like I had a support system, working a job that was making me not feel so good, you know, just a very living in a situation that, you know, with new roommates, I had new roommates, new city, divorce, new job, like, I think, and being a perfectionist, like just knowing those kind of character things that I also have about me and emotional tendencies, I just feel like it made me feel so hopeless. And you just start Googling like what to do, you know, and that number just would always come up, and I felt like in that situation, I just needed somebody to talk to, and that person was able to just be there in those moments when I felt like, you know, nobody else could immediately be there, because I had moved away from my family. Like, I had some family, but they weren't, you know, obviously available, and just all the things you're trying to be an adult, you know, this is my post-college, you know, life. And I don't know, you just sometimes, if you don't have that support system, you can just feel alone. So,
yeah. And sometimes, you know, our family is there and we have the friends that are there. But at the same time, sometimes we don't want to explain everything to them. You know, they're like, why are you feeling like this? Like, you have a good life and you have these things. And when you're in that hopelessness, you don't see those things. You don't see how great things are going. You're going down a spiral, you know. You're going down of what I don't have, and it's a chemical imbalance, and it's a mindset, and it's, you know, all of these things combined into what leads you into suicide, you know. And then if you don't have that breaking point of, hey, I need to get help, then it starts becoming, now I'm going to make a plan, and after the plan, I'm going to make an action. And then after the action, that either goes one or two ways. It doesn't go good, or it goes, you know, not good, but you can revive from that. So I definitely give you kudos to being able to reach out to that support system. That's what they're there for. You know, I know a lot of people and a lot of listeners are like, oh, well, I don't need that. And, you know, I don't think it'll ever get to that point. Nobody ever plans for this. Nobody ever.
Oh man, no.
You know, nobody ever wakes up every single day and you're like, can't wait till I commit suicide that one day. You know, that's not how it works. You get overwhelmed. And that's what it sounds like in your situation. You got so overwhelmed with so much change and the lack of support that you didn't know what to do.
No. And you just, I had never been diagnosed with any kind of like mental, like, I mean, anxiety, depression, like that wasn't anything I knew of as a kid, like growing up. Like, I was in my mind, a normal kid. And to then have like all of these kind of experiences and things happen as an adult, you're like, whoa, like what's happening? So you just have to kind of take a step back and just, follow. And I guess learn from the lessons that from your perspective, like it's all about what's in from your perspective and how it can make you be a little selfish, I guess, and what's going to make you feel better in that situation.
And I don't think it's, I really don't think it's selfishness. You know, I think we all put that label, and it's not just you, I say that phrase too, right? But I think it's changing that dialogue to self-love. Like, hey, I need a moment for a little self-love. Like, I don't need to explain anything. I don't need to tell you anything. Like, I just need a moment for a little bit of self-love.
Yes. Yeah.
So out of curiosity, does anxiety or depression run in your family? Was this kind of a spurt that you guys had? Did anybody have that previously?
I believe, yes. So my siblings, some do have that. I believe, you know, my mom does definitely have that. So I feel like it's something that does run in our family, but I think it could be individuals too. Like I've got some siblings that just have anxiety, but not the depression, and some that have both just like I do. So, I would say it just kind of depends on your situations, but
yeah. For sure. And I asked that question out of my history and being in the medical world and my history and, you know, going for psychology, is that anxiety and depression can run in families. So if you do see, you know, your older siblings struggling with, you know, those mental health aspects, kind of as a preventative, you know, going and seeking those things or finding healthy coping mechanisms before it gets to that point. I definitely know that, you know, depression runs through my family, especially we are a very women driven family. That runs in my family. It's just one of those awareness things that, you know, gets passed on to us that is out of our control. We just need to know how to deal with it and how to ask for the resources and the tools, you know, to be able to combat that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's kind of it. Like, I've seen my mom struggle with some other health issues and just knowing like, okay, like I want to be preventative about some of those health issues. Why wouldn't I be preventative about some of my mental health issues too? Like the whole break the stigma about it. Like, I really do. I think that's true. I think a lot of people are going through a lot of different things, and you just have to be kind and just really show that compassion and want to help other people through your own story. Like, I can't, I've got other friends that have other issues, and I just think we're not the same, but we can sympathize and we empathize with what each other are going through. And we just know it's not always easy. And choosing my mindset every day. I can't control everything as much as I'd love to, you know, but you just can't. And you've got to, again, like my husband says, he just go with the flow. It's just go with the flow with everything, and you'll find your flow. It just might take you a little bit longer, like, and not to get discouraged. You know, I'm 27 and I've been working on my mental health consistently for the last 2 years. So I just feel like it's things that you've got to get through, and you've got to make that decision, and you got to know in your heart, like, that's what you want. And finding those things that make you happy.
And it's not a quick and easy fix. And what has helped somebody else with anxiety or depression is not going to, you know, or could not help you with those things. How did you find what worked for you?
I'm still finding those things, but as like a creative person, really honing into what it is that's making me happier, picking up a DIY project on Pinterest, just seeing if I can do it, challenging myself, realizing what I liked, what I didn't like, and really just what's relaxing and what's not going to put me over the edge and make my anxiety worse. Has kind of been what's worked. And really knowing that I am a creative person, has helped me. I've still struggled. Like, there's still, like I said, days where I struggle, but I know now that maybe it's not always the creative side that I need to hone it into. Maybe it's exercise, like go out and take a hike, or go, you know, I live on a ranch, so I can walk the road and really not see anybody for a few miles. Getting out in nature really does help too. I think it's different for everybody. Some people like to be out with other people, and I'm just not. So, you know, I like to be in with myself a little bit. So,
yeah.
I think it will just depend on other people, but yeah, what I like is those creative things or nature primarily.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, to speak to you of what your journey has been. Your journey has been that creative side, which then, you know, kind of makes you into that wedding planning and doing, you know, mm-hmm. it's earrings specifically, right? With the jewelry, or is it kind of everything?
It's kind of everything, mostly the earrings. That's my favorite type of jewelry to make. But I also do like beaded bracelets and thrifted like necklaces, things that I'll find and clean up, or really just mostly earrings, though. I do like those the best.
And do you make them, or is that something also you go and thrift for?
So the most of the necklaces I go and thrift for, but the earrings, like the ones I have on now, I did make these, the bracelets I make, and then I'll mix and match like found thrifted pieces with some of the newer beads and kind of break them apart and make new things out of them. But, or estate sales. Sometimes I've found some really nice things at estate sales that people are just getting rid of, and I'm like, I'll just clean it up, and it's actually really good jewelry. So, but my main goal is just to make it affordable, and some of the more handcrafted things are a little bit more expensive, but just for the time. But the thrifting things, I try to make it as affordable as I can, because today's world is a little crazy.
It is a little bit crazy. Do you feel going from, you know, the corporate world, kind of all of that, you know, hustle and bustle and not feeling yourself, that the jewelry is where you are really finding yourself? I know that's still kind of your side hustle. It's not your main thing, mm-hmm. but that's where you find a lot of your joy from.
Yes. Yes. And I think, like towards, the end of like my corporate healthcare stuff, I was kind of in my cubicle while I was doing calls and making things happen corporate for my patients. I was also making jewelry for the nurses like next door, my cubicle next door. So I was kind of doing that on the side already. And it's just been something that I've always found happiness doing. I would say that the jewelry is what is kind of like when I need something happy to do, like I'll go do that and know that I'm making something for somebody else.
That's okay. That's totally okay. So with the jewelry, is this something that you're just selling online? Like, what is that? Are you wanting to grow that? Like, what does that business actually look like for you?
So currently, yes, I am selling online. I've got my own website, darlingdevs.com. And I also sell on my Instagram mostly. I've got Facebook, but again, I don't try not to be on Facebook too much. I prefer Instagram, but it is something that I would like to get into some more stores locally, host some pop-up events. I'm looking for different kind of events locally in my hometown and just some of the other places, other close by towns for me to do, but want to keep it local for the most part and online for people that aren't, you know, in the same state, but not quite like international. I don't know how big I really want to grow that to, you know, but at this point I do want to keep it online for anybody that wants to make a purchase online, and then local, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned you lived on a ranch. What is that like?
It's different. It is. I love it. I, even being in a small town, I was still in the city. And now I've relocated, and my husband and we bought about 5 acres and a little, his great grandma's farmhouse that they have kept in the family. It's just been like a ranch house for a while, but you know, it's a slower pace, but I love it. I wake up and there's mountains on both sides where we're at. And just cows across the field. Like, it's just things that you just never grew up with. So I love it. I think it's interesting because eventually it's something that I think my husband and I would be willing to take on if passed down to us. There's still a while for them, but eventually it's been in his family for centuries. So it's something that we're going to definitely have the pleasure of being able to take on ourselves at some point. I just don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah.
So and kind of doing some of that planning with his parents, just learning some of the things, driving around the property, seeing, you know, all the different places. But for now, we love our little 5-acre spot. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, like, what actually happens on this ranch? I mean, there's so many different terms, especially for the listeners of where they are versus where you're located and the term ranch. Like, what does your ranch do?
Yes. So our ranch, they currently have somebody who leases the ground and then farms the ground. So they've got hay, they've got alfalfa, they've got wheat, they've got potatoes, just kind of in these different areas. They've also, the person who leases the ground from my husband's family's property, basically the ranch, they also have cattle. So my husband's family used to run cattle and breed cattle. My father-in-law did all the genetics, like knew exactly everything to make like a perfect cow, and did that for several years, but then had since sold the cows off. And now this current person has some of those cows, but some of their own, and they do it a little bit differently than we used to, I guess, or the family used to. Yeah, that's what I know about it. I'm still learning, like I said, but it's been a couple years. I'm still kind of getting to know these people and what they actually, because they change things different seasons. So it's just been kind of fun to see, you know, point and see, oh yeah, that's alfalfa. Okay. Like, or that's what I've got planted outside my window here.
It's just learning all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I want you to speak, you went through a divorce, mm-hmm. you had all this mental health, and then now you're remarried.
Mm-hmm.
What was that journey? I mean, what was that through your mental health? I think that can speak to a lot of women that has occurred to, or if they're in a situation, you know, before getting divorced where they need to, you know, kind of exit that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What was that journey going from, you know, getting divorced, your mental health, and now rebuilding another relationship with a man?
It was definitely not easy, but luckily my situation, I was able to have amicable conversations with my ex through the process, and just knowing that things were going to end on good terms. There, it was no nasty divorce. It wasn't anything like I'm sure some other listeners have been through, but you're still learning about yourself. Like you just have better boundaries, I would say. I've got some just things that I know about myself that didn't work in my last relationship that I work on in my current relationship. The expectations that this person's going to be quote unquote better. My last person, we both never saw each other growing together. So I just think there was always that kind of, you know, foot's going to drop kind of situation. You just never knew when or what the situation was going to be. And that really sucked for my mental health, really sucked for being, you know, somebody who was very anxious, and it really triggered a lot of some of those and probably drove a lot more of the depression side of it, I would say. And just knowing that that's okay and you're not any worse, or, you know, you can be just as, you know, work on yourself. Like you said, show yourself that self-love. You deserve it. And it's really hard to have that hope and that light at the end of the tunnel. But for somebody who's always sure that there's, I don't know, I've always been sure that there is going to be something better. Like there is good and happiness in the world. You just maybe have to make it yourself.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I've learned. And I'm way happier now. And I know like it's not perfect. Like we've only been married almost 2 years. So I just feel like there's some learning there in new marriage. But I just think it's fun. And that's what you have to keep a hold of and not lose yourself. Like I definitely felt like I lost myself in my last marriage. And this time I know who I am and that, you know, I can grow with this person that I'm with now.
So. Yeah. How long were you with your previous husband?
I was with them for almost 4 years.
Okay.
So, and engaged at like 7 months in and was engaged for like a year and a half and married for not very long. So it was just, it was one of those things that was kind of drug out and was quick. Got married in Vegas, you know, those kind of things. And again, you have the story, you have some of those happier things that I guess you can find the light in and the good part in, but just know that that wasn't you and that wasn't a good fit for you. And, it was you, but it just wasn't, what you needed at that time, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that also speaks on just living, you know, like mm-hmm. It's okay. We don't ever know the right choices, you know, until we make a choice and figure out if it was, oh, I probably should have learned from this or, oh, that could have gone differently. But that's the glory of life and everybody differently, you know, experiences. And that's, you know, really kind of my draw to this podcast where I just, you know, randomly met you through Instagram, and I shouldn't say randomly, but you suck out the podcast and that's life. You know, we don't know that that's the way that it's going to go, but it's adapting and adjusting and knowing what we need for our next relationship or our next job or our next, you know, friendship, and saying, hey, I learned this from my past. You haven't eliminated it. You're learning from it and you're applying that now to the future.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, that's great. I'm super glad that you are here with us today, you know, being able to speak on the mental health aspect within your relationship and just your kind of careers. What's something that you wish that you could teach people about mental health? Like, what is your push for that mental health aspect?
I would say just that everybody's, as much as people want to say they don't have an issue, everybody has something that they can talk about that's on their mind. Whether it's deep, dark, sad, happy, I don't know, but you've got something up there. And just knowing that it's important just as much as your physical health has been my main thing, just because I feel like the priority in healthcare sometimes maybe is the more physical things or the more apparent things. And mental health is one of those things that they can't all know.
Yeah.
There's specialists that do know, but, and just to be willing to ask for more help if you aren't satisfied for that answer that you're given. There's multiple answers. There's multiple ways for somebody to look at a situation. And maybe not your resources per se. That is also something that I've learned through all of this, is that depending on where you're at, you may not have access to all of those things, but being willing to seek some help, additional help if you need it, was my main thing, I guess.
And speaking on this too, I mean, was there a certain like trigger that you're like, okay, this is my moment? Like everything stacked up. This is like, what was that one moment where you're like, this is it, I need help?
I think it was just waking up feeling like I had to make a commute in the morning and just feeling like you could just drive off the road or drive into, you know, and before I even got in the car, like that thought was already in my mind. And just knowing that I needed to make that phone call before I even got in that car was kind of that moment. To really just stop and think, like, I've had other people commit suicide, unfortunately, and to know the pain on that other side, like, I don't know, I think a empathic person like myself, like, you feel for the people that are going to reciprocate, have that happen. So that was kind of my turning point for at least that moment in the corporate healthcare position. And yeah.
And I asked that, you know, out of curiosity, because it can be that simple. You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people with mental health make it this complex of, oh, you know, somebody died and then, or this happened or this tragic experience happened to them. And then that's, you know, what occurred. No, you woke up that day and said, you know what, this is the day that I'm going to drive my car off the road. You know, it is that simple of a turning point in mental health that gets overcomplexed, you know, mm-hmm. and I value you saying that that's all it was, because mm-hmm. that also shows you, you know, how simple it can be. And you spoke about, you know, the doctors of, if you're not satisfied, keep asking them questions. If you're not satisfied, keep pressing, go to a different doctor, go to a different, you know, resource or a different tool within there, because you know yourself best and you know when you're not feeling good. And maybe that's not explained why you're not feeling good, but you know, I really value your experience, on just saying it was that simple. I woke up and I didn't feel good mm-hmm. and I wanted to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. But having that strength behind you and saying, I'm not going to, I'm going to ask for help.
It sounds so simple, and it was as simple as that thought and that phone call and getting the ball started, but I guess there was a lot leading up to that. So, yeah. Just to know that everybody's mountain leading up to that will look different. But it can just be that simple.
It's the stacking block. No, you're okay. You're okay. I was going to say it's the stacking blocks, right? Of if we don't deal with one thing and then it continues to stack. I always relate that to the champagne effect. I know I'm definitely very guilty of that, where you know, everything's bottled up and then that cork flies and your emotions go off in a haywire. And I know that for myself. So it's that continuous stacking up of, you know, or pushing underneath the rug of like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, we're not going to address that today. Oh, we're going to deal with that a different day. And then that different day is that waking up and saying, this is the end of it. Like, I can't take on any more within this.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, what's your journey now besides doing the jewelry, you know, meditation you had said, what does your daily routine look like to giving you your self-love?
Yeah. So, I do wake up pretty early. I try to get a walk in around 4:30 and just start walking, for about an hour. I've really noticed, like, I have to give myself that time to just wake up almost with the light. And I've heard that there's some research maybe with like first light and just mental health and walking back and forth. I just walk up and down my lane, and sorry, that's why I say up and down, but just the repetitive back and forth, the routine, it really just makes me feel better. Of course, having something good to eat, like just knowing that I am a food person, like I love food and I need to eat. And so making sure it's good, healthy food. And of course, going to work, I do work a day job. But knowing like, even in that day job, like I can just leave that there and leave work there. I'm at a position now where I don't have to take my work home with me. My corporate job, I felt like I did. And just sticking to that routine and making time for my husband and balancing my business and personal time. And, but it's been more of a work on jewelry a couple nights a week, work on graphic design a couple nights a week, help with wedding planning as I have people that are interested. And, you know, making sometimes my weekends off limits, knowing that there's times when you can take a break and stop. And you don't have to be on, you know, always on the sale, always marketing yourself all the time. I feel like sometimes you can lose yourself in your small business a little bit doing that. So I've really had to step back and just focus on one project at a time, one event at a time, to just kind of keep my flow going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, as we wrap up, I really want to give you a huge shout out for one reaching out specifically to the podcast and saying, hey, I want to share my story. There was obviously, you know, a pull to speaking your truth, speaking your raw thoughts on mental health, and that's very vulnerable. So I really want to give you an air hug. I mean, I hope I can meet you one day in person and just give you the biggest hug, because it is a drive. You know, a lot of people, like you had mentioned earlier, the doctors can't see, you know, what's happening in our brains and our minds and, you know, our emotions. It's very easy to say, yep, that's a broken arm. This is how we're going to fix it. These are, you know, our protocols. Very difficult within the mind. And I think that's kind of, you know, sometimes why it can get overlooked is because it can be very complex and everybody's situation is different and how they react is different and what makes them feel good is different. So I really just thank you for coming on and sharing your story, because that's your story. That's who you are. That's what, you know, the variables that you've had in your life have made it to be. And I just thank you for that for sure.
Of course. Well, yeah. Thank you for being available and creating this podcast, because definitely I've been enjoying all the episodes and the idea of just getting people's raw thoughts. So,
yay. Thank you. So, like I said, while we wrap up, how can people reach out to you? I mean, I want them to get your jewelry and be able to, you know, if they need wedding planning from where you are or graphic designing, how do they reach you?
Yes, of course. So I have a website, www.darlingdevs.com. My Instagram handle is @darlingdevsdesign. And there's a direct link to my website there. I'm on Facebook, Darling Devs. But I would say to connect on my jewelry, my graphic design, or my wedding planning, you can go directly to my website and there's some tabs at the top.
Awesome. Well, listeners, thank you for following along for another episode. Definitely reach out if you would like to be on the podcast. Make sure you're subscribing to this show. Share it with all your friends and family. That's the best word of mouth. And to lead it on, you know, like if you are in a time of need, always make sure you're reaching out to somebody, whether that's your coworkers, whether that's a friend, whether that's, you know, your EAP, like connect with somebody and start the ball in getting those resources that you need. If you're in the point of a suicide, you know, realm, call 911, call the suicide hotline, like let's get you help. So I hope that sharing Dev's story with you today can bring a little bit of light into your life. And I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. And thank you for listening. So Dev, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it again. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.